Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the list goes on and on. The most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Tuesday on the program today, therefore we have got Raw to talk about. And for once, Raw was not a boring, nothing happening show. Which is interesting because we had no John Cena, we had no Brock Lesnar, we had no Undertaker, we had no Randy Orton. All of the big stars were gone. All that was left were guys like Roman Reigns, and Dean Ambrose was on the show, but he didn't wrestle. Bunch of upper mid-carders, your Dolph Ziggler's and the like. They had a wrestling show. They did a one-night tournament to determine a four-way, which would then determine a new number one contender for Seth Rollins and his WWE title. It led to a very good show, and it was the best night for Roman Reigns in as long as I can remember. The WWE Network had 1.233 paid subscribers. That's 1.233 million, which is up from 1.15 million at the end of June, down from the 1.33 million at the end of March. We're going to talk about all of these numbers, what it means for WWE, their television rights fees, and why, as we've mentioned many times, Raw is not going to be cutting down to 2 hours, even though 3 hours appears to be killing the show. WWE's numbers are going to continue to escalate over the next 2 years because their television rights fees are also escalating. Mookie Ghana, Chris Harrington is going to be on the show after the first break to talk about that. Also should mention that later on today for subscribers, Bob Backlund is going to be on the show. Bob Backlund has written a great book about his life. If you've seen it on Amazon.com, if you consider it, I highly recommend it. It is a very, very honest book. And if you're a fan of history, it's a great one to read. So we'll be back in just a moment. Mike Sempervivi, Chris Harrington, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
They're out there. Gunk, corrosion, and wear. Relentlessly preying on engines. But new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline provides unbeatable protection from gunk and corrosion. And superior protection against wear. For the best total engine protection you can get. Stay ahead of engine threats with new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline today.
At GEICO, we've been innovating car insurance for over 75 years with forward-thinking ideas like online quotes and the GEICO mobile app. And to prove it, we'll play one of our first radio commercials from 75 years ago.
By Jiminy, GEICO could save you money on your car insurance, which is what we'll be doing over 75 years from now. Who knows, maybe with some sort of application that's accessible on a futuristic handheld device. We'll call them online quotes.
See? Forward-thinking.
GEICO, saving people money for over 75 years.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host that can talk about all sports. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days, and anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. 1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, in the next segment, I think we're going to have Mookie Ghana, Chris Harrington here on the show. Apparently, the number I had is an old number. And so, Chris, if you're listening, I emailed you the studio number, so give us a call, and we'll talk about these WWE numbers. As noted before the break, $166.2 million in revenue, $10.4 million in profit. This is way up from last year at this time. If anything, I'm surprised that the network number today is higher than the network number in June. I expected it to be lower, but it was higher. So apparently, I don't know, SummerSlam or whatever else really got people interested. They were putting over SummerSlam as a big deal. Everything is up. The only thing that was down was home entertainment. That would be things like DVDs, VHS tapes. Apparently nobody is buying that anymore. Stock price, however, did fall. It was $19.95 per share yesterday, and currently it is $17.95 per share. Don't even ask me why. So yeah, that is the WWE Network numbers. We will have Chris Harrington on to talk about that a little bit later on in the program. In the meantime, we will talk news. If you want to give us a call, 425-488-0525. Toll free, 844-411-5411. And the text message line, 425-780-7566. Mike, have you looked at these numbers?
I have a little bit. I thought the number that actually stuck out the most, and I kind of want to ask Mookie about this, if there was any, if they expanded on this at all, but the 37 new advertisers that were secured for WWE programming following the NBC Universal upfront. I would love to know what goes into that, and I would love to know the size of some of these, because that's a really impressive number, to be honest. And obviously WWE does not get, you know, all. I don't know how it exactly works with, are these deals that are tied in with USA that have no problem with advertising on the show, which, depending on what kind of sponsors they are, we've heard a lot with the do not advertise list when it comes to Destination America and pro wrestling and advertisers not wanting to have anything to do with it. Just as an example, when it comes to WWE, there's never been a car advertiser. There hasn't been a Ford or a Chevy or anything like that that's ever touched WWE. I'm not saying that they will now, but I'm interested to know the size of these sponsors and the interest level that they have in advertising on WWE programming. But that's got to be at least considered a little bit of a good sign on top of just everything kind of standing pat. And the stock number, it did go down, God knows why, for some of these things. But, I mean, still where it's standing right now is a lot better than it was 2 years or 3 years ago at this time pre-network when it was sitting at about, what, nine?
Let's go to the toll-free line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Dave in Connecticut. How you doing?
Yes, Dave.
I'm just trying to ask you some questions I wrote for the one mailbag because, quite frankly, you got too many questions. You're right, so I'm going to just read one out. There were rumors that Tito Ortiz turned down a rematch with Frank Shamrock to fight Liam McGreery. If so, he's an idiot. Is this true?
That he's an idiot? That's arguable.
Yes,
allegedly, Frank Shamrock was willing to have a fight with Tito Ortiz, and Tito Ortiz turned it down. and wanted to fight with Liam. Listen, Tito Ortiz is near the end of his career, and if it were me, I would have fought Frank Shamrock and taken the money. But Tito Ortiz decided, I want to win the championship. He wanted that one last title in his career, and he made the wrong decision, but that was his decision.
Yeah, but it was horrible.
Well, he didn't win. But you know what? He didn't do that bad. Now, listen, he actually was winning that round until he lost. But the problem is, even if you want to argue that if he hadn't got caught in that guillotine, maybe he would have won the fight. The reality is, just because you win one round against a guy means nothing in a five-round championship fight. Was Tito Ortiz realistically going to maintain his level of cardio in that first round all the way into the final round? I don't think so.
But, Brian, if I was Scott Coker, I would have said to him, no, you can't fight Liam McGarry. First you have to fight Frank Shamrock, and then you got to fight Kimbo Slice. You know why? Because people will actually tune in to watch that.
Yeah, well, but the problem with that is, who then does Liam McGarry fight? You want Liam McGarry to beat names so people will pay attention to the fight, because nobody's going to buy or watch a Liam McGarry fight. No offense to Liam McGarry, but on the surface, you're coming to watch Tito Ortiz, and then you hope that Liam McGarry puts on such a great performance that people now want to see your champion again. I mean, a lot of the bells and whistles that Bellator is doing is to get eyeballs on their product as they start to build up some of their stars.
All right, Mookie is on the line. Chris Harrington. Chris, what's going on?
Not much. Thanks, guys, for having me on. Sorry about the delay.
No problem. Let's talk about these numbers. Were you impressed? Were you more impressed than Wall Street?
I was much more impressed than Wall Street was. You know, WWE had said that they were going to come in at about $1.2 million for the quarter for subs. They came in above $1.2 million. They delivered a lot of money on the bottom line for OVIDA. In fact, it's the highest number since about second quarter of 2012. So, I mean, they had some really good numbers, but Wall Street was obviously unimpressed.
Now, we've talked a million times about how a three-hour Raw sucks, and it would be better at 2 hours. And as has been pointed out many times, it doesn't matter if the show sucks, because they are getting escalating rights fees for this 3 hours. And at the rate things are going, is it true that within a year or two, because of the escalating rights fees, in part because of a three-hour Raw, this is going to be the most profitable the company has ever been, ever?
It's very likely. I think they're going to end the year, this year, around $60 million on an OVIDA side. And you can go back to probably 2012 when they were doing about that well.
Explain the OVIDA to the listeners.
Yeah. That's operating income before depreciation and amortization, which is a fancy way of basically saying profit. So it's basically how much they're really putting in the bank after you take out all the costs. So in some senses, you know, they're going to be about where they were a few years ago this year. And then if they keep growing at this rate, especially knowing that they have several, you know, almost $100 million more of growth to come on their TV rights deals, yeah, they should be making probably more than they've ever made before. I will say about ratings, there's three elements to the ratings in my mind. The first one is that NBC Universal cares about TV ratings. So the ability for WWE to come back to them in a few years and say, hey, give us another cent to million dollar deal is pretty tough. Number two, advertisers care about ratings. And so the ability of WWE to either get good advertisers, you know, when payday is paying money to be on television and do things like that, that matters. But also, especially NBCU wants those better advertisers to make it valuable for them to have wrestling on their program. Number three is ratings, in my mind, is audience. And if you have a smaller audience, you have a smaller group of people that want to buy your WWE network. And you've got to replace some of the fans that are leaving, and you've got to get new fans involved. And so I don't know if social media is enough for them to grow this service so that it's still 80% domestic.
Chris, speaking of advertisers, one of the things that was the highlight that you pointed out were the 37 new advertisers that were secured for WWE programming following the NBC Universal upfront, where they announced their fall shows and they bring all the advertisers in and all the bells and whistles that take place there. Do we know who those advertisers are and to the level of credibility, not credibility, but credibility would be probably the right word, that they could bring to the programming by appearing during the broadcast on USA?
No, we know absolutely nothing about it. And it was funny because during the call, Laura Martin from Needham & Company even asked Vince, hey, what's going on with all that advertising on the network? How do people like that? You know, what's it? How much money made on that? And they kind of skirted the question saying, oh, you know, the brands that have tried it out are really interested in the engagement they get. But in no means have we really seen that, you know, those big blue chip advertisers beyond what they've gotten in the past. You know, they have gotten some General Mills, they've gotten some Kraft. That's why they've gone to a PT format. They've tried to court all these companies. And I think on social media, we're going to increasingly see kind of interactions between them, since that's what the one area WWE feels that they're doing really, really, really well. But no, we don't know anything about the viability of these actual advertisers, whether or not they're, you know, video game companies, car companies, beer companies, or, you know, mom and pop hardware stores.
All right, stand by. Chris will be back in just a moment with more, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Are you an inventor who would like to try to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to companies? But you don't know what to do next? Call for free information from InventHelp. InventHelp, a leading inventor service company, has been helping inventors since 1984 and has sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. You'll want to talk to the company that has helped secure more than 7,000 invention patents. So call InventHelp. Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll still want to call InventHelp for free information. You'll find out how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to companies. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. Get your free information by dialing 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. 1-800-316-1738.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-221-0010 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-221-0010. That's 888-221-0010.
Do you know which investment has tripled in price since the debt crisis and risen an average 20% a year for 11 years? It's not stocks, not bonds, it's silver. And right now, we at Lear Capital believe silver is poised to hit new record highs. And we're making it easier to own than ever. For a limited time, new customers with $5,000 or more to invest in gold or silver can get up to 10 certified Morgan silver dollars absolutely free. That's right, up to 10 100-year-old Morgan silver dollars when you invest $5,000 or more. A $600 value free. This offer is available for IRA accounts as well.
Call right now, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229. Call Lear Capital now, 800-631-9229.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi as well as Chris Harrington. Mookie Ghana is here to talk about the WWE earnings report. I do want to throw out one thing here very quickly before we get back into the earnings report. I've been sent a message here. WWE.com reported Rusev's injury, bicep tendon rupture. Only out 3 to 4 weeks, however. So this is much better than when the Vintner tore his bicep and was out for 4 months. So that is the update on Rusev, everybody. And Chris Harrington is here. We're talking the WWE earnings call. There's a lot of interesting stuff coming out of that. They're doing well. They may be on their way to doing better than ever, despite these Raw ratings. Chris, let me ask you a question, since you were talking about ratings before the break. I understand that these television deals are bringing in a lot of money, and more and more and more and more money. But I believe we're on the same page in the sense that I don't think 3 hours long-term is good for this company. This is an example of taking all your money now and not looking down the road. I think that cutting to 2 hours would be a bad idea in the eyes of Wall Street. But one of the big issues to me is, where are new fans coming from when you are asked to devote 3 hours to a boring show on Monday night in order to really follow the product? I think this is a big negative. I think that eventually you're going to get to the point where it's not worth it. Ratings drop, viewership drops to a level where, yeah, you're making all this money, that's great, but for the long-term future of your company, you're in the hole. So my question to you is, looking at these numbers, let's say that in 2 years they're doing better than they've ever done. They're making more profit than they ever have before. If they're making that kind of money, does it make sense to you to cut to 2 hours, lose millions of dollars a year on those rights fees, but still they'd be making so much profit that they would still be above water, and they could look to try to rebuild this dwindling fan base?
Well, the way Berrios puts it, and he's the CFO of WWE and chief strategy officer and the guy who does most of the talking these days, he claims that social media, being it YouTube, Facebook, any kind of video on demand streaming type internet service, is exploding for WWE. We have all these eyeballs going on there, and it doesn't matter that they don't make money in that arena, because where the eyeballs are, that's where the people, the money's going to come. And he says, it's just like cable TV in the 80s. Nobody thought cable was worth anything. We got on cable because we wanted our audience to find us, discover us, and start getting involved with us. Same idea with even syndication and other things. So the proposition they're putting forward is basically, we're getting ahead of the marketplace, and television isn't really our concern about where we're going to get the market, but rather it's these other places. Now, whether or not there's a difference between getting someone to watch a YouTube video and getting someone to either pay for cable television and watch your two-hour program and or subscribe to your monthly service, I think there's a big gap there. So in their mind, that's what they're saying. And I think in 5 years from now, 4 years from now, yeah, there's a possibility we will see a reduction in that, right? Because at that point, they'll feel they're making the money on the social media, internet streaming side, and the TV rights are not as big of a deal to them.
That, so please explain one more time how this social media is going to bring them so much money.
I don't know.
Okay.
So basically the spin is already in then. I mean, we're starting to see it now with the bubble bursting when it comes to sports rights. And just basically, it's almost like rats off a shift when it comes to people cutting the cord on cable TV, and then you got to worry about how your consumers are, you know, which platforms they're consuming your product with. Are they kind of already, they're angling themselves to be out in front of that already with that sort of thing? It kind of sounds like, too, with them going, you know, there's the perfect excuse for next time around for Wall Street is, hey, look at the cable industry. That's why our ratings are down. It's not because of the 3 hours or the burnout or any of that stuff.
Essentially, but I mean, when the ratings were brought up in the call today, the response was, that's only one metric, and we look at the totality of all our metrics. And so we're not going to get caught up on this one metric. And we think it's important, but it's not that important. So they completely no-sold it in terms of the ratings. And if you look at the WWE's number for ratings, it's different than the number that you'll be seeing reported in the newsletter every week, because WWE appears to be using a more delayed viewing, you know, 3-day, 7-day plus DVR viewing number, which is still down, but it's not down double digits the way some of these live numbers are. And so for whatever reason, the analysts at least just seem to be completely uninterested in the fact that the rating is suffering right now. And in fact, they actually thought WWE was being too conservative when they implied that if they got Netflix-like growth of 20 to 25% next year, they would be, you know, doing really well.
That's,
and the
happen.
Analysts were actually challenging WWE as, don't you think that's a little low? Don't you think you're better than Netflix? Don't you think you're better than Netflix than Netflix was?
Well, that's what they claimed.
Yeah. So
the thing I've noticed, Mookie, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it appears that these analysts don't look at this whole thing very deeply. I mean, yes, Mike's claim that they can blame this on cord cutting and everything like that. If their analysts are the same analysts that don't look at anything very deeply, then sure, you can do that. But Raw is down 15% over the last year, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Okay, so has the cable industry lost 15% on cord cutting? No, they've lost nowhere close. So it should be an easy comparison point. Let's say next year Raw's down 30% from 2 years ago. There's no way that 30% of people have cut the cord. So an analyst should be able to call them on that and say, well, listen, there's an issue here. But they're not going to do that because these analysts, I mean, for crying out loud, the analysts actually thought they could do better than 25% growth next year, even though they've shown nothing like that from year one to year two, besides just the average growth of the thing starting up?
It's a confusing scenario. I don't think these analysts are necessarily dumb as much as they're selective in the logic that they apply. And they are very accurate in the sense that if you evaluate this market, losing ratings does not necessarily correlate to less money for them because they can still grow. You know, when you launch,
well, it doesn't right now.
India, Germany, and Japan, you're going to have more people that can possibly buy your service than a year ago, regardless of what the domestic Raw rating is. That said, I think it's still important.
Well, see, it's kind of funny, too, when they, you know, India and Japan, it, you know, two out of those three markets, and I don't know, you could ask Oliver Kopp about Germany, but two of those three markets have had traditionally, well, one's had no interest at all in paying for a product, for pay-per-views and for streaming things and things like that. And then the other is in India, you know, it's... I don't know what kind of impact this is exactly going to have as compared to just being on a regular network, you know, being a network on TV.
Well, let me ask Mookie this. Can you compare for us? You can do this after the break if you want to look during the break, but they opened up a ton of new markets over the last year or so. And how much has that really increased growth? Because they're still at like less than a quarter million internationally, right?
That's right. I mean, they've done wonderful in sense of the UK with really the key market to get into. Germany is the largest economy in Europe, and there's something to be said that as a developed country, you do want to make sure it's available there. India is a mess because you're not even going to get the pay-per-views available in the Indian marketplace. It's going to be blacked out for 24 hours, and it's $9.99, and it's a broadband solution, not a mobile-based solution like offline viewing, the way YouTube went in India. So India, I don't see anything big in. UK was huge, and UK has delivered. I mean, the average value of a WWE Network subscription right now is above $10 for WWE because people in the UK are paying the equivalent of $15 US. So, and same in Canada and in the Middle East. So there is those elements to it. It's helping, but it's by no means, you know, like I say, it's 80% domestic still. And when you think about what we're putting on the network, whether it's old content or new content, a lot of it is geared towards people that like professional wrestling or professional wrestling history, and that's largely going to be English-speaking people, and it's largely going to be English-speaking people that had a history of seeing that wrestling. And that's going to be mostly in the U.S. and Canada.
We have a text message question. This person says, I never understood why the WWE was still developing DVDs after the network launched, and today's number shows it makes no sense. Do you believe this will lead to more DVD-type documentaries and specials being created only for the network, which I believe would help keep the network number where it is or possibly increase? Well, let me say one thing. I would presume that the people that are still buying DVDs aren't getting the network. And maybe they're not getting the network because they can't. Is that possible?
Partially. Right now they're making, I think, $12 a disc on DVDs, so it's pretty profitable business for the small piece it represents. You know what the number two best-selling DVD was this last quarter?
Mania?
It was The Rock versus Cena from 2012 because they offloaded a whole bunch of that stuff into the discount bin over this last quarter here. And so we're seeing them basically fire sale all this old stuff into the $3, $5 bins at Walmarts and Best Buys. So I wouldn't be surprised if they are changing their strategy a little bit around their DVD release. But for the most part, it's still making money, unlike, say, the WWE Studios, which they've stayed with far longer. They invest a lot more in, and they get even lower returns on. So trying to understand why WWE keeps or goes away from certain segments of business, I think it's because they like to be seen as an integrated entertainment media company, which is the name they've given themselves. And they feel that if they start lopping off these unuseful arms, then they stop being that. You know, giving up the magazine division, for instance. They call that digital publishing now, just to kind of hide it in the numbers there. But I think, well, Chris, part of their image is being an entertainment company.
I know we have about 90 seconds to go in this segment. Have they actually gotten into digital downloads or anything like that for their, you know, their DVD / VHS sales? Because it doesn't seem to be that they offer a lot of those titles in the way that a lot of people are downloading and consuming product to keep.
It's really confusing. I don't know if this has to do with the deal that they struck with Warner Brothers, the most recent one they had, and that's what prevents them from getting into that area. But I think all of us have been vexed by the fact that the full back catalog is not available on the WWE Network. And on top of that, you can't even seem to get some of the stuff. I don't know if that interferes with, you know, contracted rights, where certainly there's a sunset clause in many people where you can say, I'm only going to sell CM Punk gear for so many days after he's not with the company. And so if you start putting out CM Punk DVDs, then, you know, it kind of seems like you're trying to make money off somebody that you don't have a contractual relationship with anymore.
All right, hold on one sec, Chris. We'll cover that after the break and take your calls as well. 855-478-44. Oh, wrong number. Never mind. We'll be back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
Hey, sports fans, it's time to take football to a whole new level. Put the excitement back in the game and put your money where your mouth is. Real Vegas odds and incredible player props make MyBookie your best bet this season. Did the game already go off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie offers in-game live betting on all your favorite sporting events. Create your account today. Right now, the baseball playoffs are in full swing. Don't just watch the game, be a part of it. It's time to get off the sidelines and start winning today. We guarantee fast, convenient payouts over the phone or online. MyBookie is the best website for all of your wagering needs. Call now at 844-900-BETS. Enter promo code USA. That's USA. And receive a 100% bonus. That's 844-900-2387. Or go online to MyBookie.lv to open an account and start winning today. Only the biggest, only the best, only at MyBookie. Sign up today.
Right now, the Home Depot has Pergo XP Haley Oak Laminate Flooring for just $2.29 a square foot. Basic installation is just 89 cents a square foot. So, let's lay down a floor that stands up to our lives, with double the durability of regular laminate and just as beautiful as real wood. Let's do this with Pergo XP Haley Oak Laminate for $2.29, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. Installation offer valid on laminates over 150 square foot with minimum purchase of 250 square feet.
The following was recorded at a Burger King drive-thru at breakfast.
Morning, welcome to Burger King.
Can I get a bacon, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich?
Yeah, me too. I'll have a croissant sandwich.
So one says croissant sandwich and one says croissant sandwich?
Yeah.
Don't you guys know it's croissant sandwich? And they're just two for $4.
Okay, weirdo. Can we drive up now?
Piled high with thick-cut bacon or savory sausage, fluffy eggs, and melted cheese. Get two croissant sandwich breakfast sandwiches for just $4. Only at Burger King. Limited time only. Price and participation vary.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We're back here on Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, Chris Harrington here on the show today as well, talking the WWE business. I'm going to open up the phone lines if you have questions only about WWE business, WWE Network, the earnings call. The phone number, 425-488-0525, or the toll-free number, and this is the correct one, 844-411-4└. 5411. And you can also text your question to 425-780-7566. And Chris Vince McMahon, in the old days, he would determine how business was doing by the house show numbers. And granted, it's no longer 1984, but this is still something that he concerns himself with to a degree. How are house show numbers?
Well, for the third quarter of 2015, it was a flat number for North American attendance at 5,100, and that would include some of that really strong SummerSlam attendance going on. So if anything, some house shows you would probably say are down a little bit. International did very well. I think it was up like 16%, over 8,000 people a show. The only problem was fluctuations in foreign currency were so bad. The WWE, I think, lost $2 million just on that exchange. And so they didn't grow nearly the same percentage up that you'd expect them to grow on international business. So international is finally getting a little hotter. Domestic has been stuck in the doldrums for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years now. It's just been really flat around that 5,000, 6,000 level. And I think that's alarming, because I think that's a good trend to say whether or not you're ever going to be able to break, you know, 1.5, 1.6 million subs for the WWE network ever is going to come for when we actually see attendance starting to go up again.
Now, looking at the attendance for these shows, I mean, obviously we've got a sea of mid-carders. I don't have any friends that really go to house shows. I have one. He brings his family to the house shows. But most people go to the television tapings. Is it not at least somewhat a positive that things have stayed even for as long as they have and not dwindled?
Oh, sure. I think, like I tell people, I won't say that WWE is in decline, because the numbers they're putting up are strong numbers. And what they've managed to do is squeeze more and more revenue from the same revenue source. I think they said ticket prices were up 10% this quarter compared to last year on North American. So things are getting more expensive to go to these shows, and the people are there. And that's, you know, what did we know about WWE fans? They would pay $50-$60 to watch a 3-hour pay-per-view, and they continue to pay $50-$60. You know, we still have several hundred thousand pay-per-view buys every single quarter, and a percentage of those, you know, almost a quarter of them are still domestic buys. So people are, they're willing to pay the money. It's just a matter of, you know, WWE doesn't want to, for instance, introduce new pricing tiers for the WWE network, but they've certainly figured out ways to make more money on all their live events with their travel packages, with their VIP passes.
Now, the other question is, this period of the year, the fall, is traditionally a pretty down period. Everybody talks about the post-Mania doldrums and everything like that, but they have WrestleMania rematches and that sort of thing. And in the fall, it's just kind of, we coast along, we float along during football season, ratings take a hit, and we all wait for the Royal Rumble. But this quarter was up from the last quarter. I think they talked about this in the earnings call, but could you attribute most of this growth to that huge SummerSlam weekend?
I don't know if it's just that. I think there's things like the licensing they're getting from SuperCard, WWE SuperCard coming out. Things like that have been generating lots of new money this year that they weren't getting in the past. The WWE Shop Zone has been doing just fine. Venue merchandise, yes, that's up, and that's going to be good. That's going to be equivalent to certain events. Pay-per-view being up, that was certainly tied to the SummerSlam being strong. But I think it's a broad spectrum of things. Just because ratings drop, the revenue doesn't necessarily drop, because a lot of these deals are just made. On top of that, they made a lot more money because Tough Enough and Total Divas aired during this quarter, and they didn't air during last quarter. So you can attribute a lot, like $5, $10 million of revenue just to the fact that you got those two shows on the air and you got paid for them this quarter, and you didn't get paid for them in Q2.
This person here says, how could the stock possibly drop 13% today if the numbers are so sound? Doesn't this happen every time?
There is this weird rebound to it where everyone sells off, and then like a day or two later, they seem to react to the news, and then it starts to creep up again. Now, it could be that it's just people are, you know, they setting their targets kind of earnings call to earnings call, and then they're getting out once it's done. I don't really understand the stock market, to be really honest. I talk to analysts, and I say to them, I can help you understand whether or not I think these metrics are going to grow, but I cannot ever correlate it to what the stock price is going to be. When their stock price was up at $24, $26, almost $30 when they were in the middle of their negotiations for NBCU, almost every one of us that seemed to have a clue said it's not going to be a big deal, and yet their stock was super high. Did that make us right and them wrong? I don't know. It's just like the stock lives in its own world. And you have to get a stock analyst to tell you why.
Well,
why
yeah, you don't money. Understand it, but based on the pattern, we could buy WWE stock, sell on the day of an earnings report when it's high, let it drop, wait 2 days when it's low, and then buy again, and then it'll go back up.
It would seem like a strategy to retire on, so maybe that's where you need to put your
I don't know about retire on. I'm not putting that much money into this WWE stock. This person says, if McMahon is making great profit, do you really think he cares if the actual on-screen product sucks? All that matters is profit, really. Let me address that first. Why do people think that Vince McMahon is sitting by and producing a product that he thinks sucks? Vince McMahon is thinking about his business 24 hours a day. He never sleeps. He rewrites a Raw script 50 times. If Vince didn't care, he would just take the Raw script and put it on television. Vince cares a lot about the product, and he thinks it's great. Or he thinks that what he's putting on TV is the best for that particular day. Vince is not throwing on television that he thinks sucks. He may watch it and go, okay, well, that ended up sucking. Let me stop pushing this fool. But in his brain, I'm sure that every script that he submits as a final script for Raw or approves, I'm sure he thinks on that day, that's a great script.
Absolutely. And he wouldn't be still this involved at this age in the company in the day-to-day matters unless he wanted to be. And what I've always said is people say, who's going to replace Vince? And I say, I don't think someone's going to replace Vince. I think many people will replace Vince. The next person will never have the same range of responsibilities that Vince McMahon has retained at this point. No one else would be the chairman of the board, the CEO of the company, the head of creative, be at television every single week and still making all these business decisions and being on every one of these calls and so forth and so on. So it will be many people that would have to take up Vince's shoes after this, and he wouldn't be doing it unless this was his life.
Did they mention anything about the churn? How many people quit?
No, not really. I mean, they played around it. They said the same, you know, we think we can get better user experience and user interfaces. That's going to help with the churn. We think, you know, getting into new markets. But still, if you take your churn number and divide that by the number of people that actually paid for the service in that quarter, it's about 35% of that number every month. I think it was 377,000, something like that this time. So you still have hundreds of thousands of people entering and hundreds of thousands of people leaving, and yet the number just slowly ticks up at, I think, 6% this last quarter.
Okay, let me ask you about that. So we know that the WWE audience, God bless them, we know that when they do those polls and they look at all of the sports and they look at the earnings, you know, the annual household earnings of viewers of each sport, we all know that wrestling fans are usually very low on that list, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So can we imagine a scenario where the churn is actually the result of fans needing a credit card to order the network, and maybe they don't have a credit card, and so they're usually doing the deal where you go buy a prepaid card, and so they sign up for X number of months, that card expires, they go get a new card, they sign up again. I mean, that would kind of explain a large churn, but the number also creeping up, wouldn't it?
I guess you could say that, but it seems a little far-fetched to me that it would be happening for this long and so consistently. I really see it as, you know, you run a subscription business. Don't you see, you know, tens of thousands of people joining and leaving your company every single month, right, Brian?
Well, people come and go, but our number also creeps up. But we don't have 35% churning on any given quarter.
I don't think anyone can understand it except for to say that there's a lot of people maybe gaming the system with these free month trials, perhaps, or with some kind of irregularities going on between people trying to switch out accounts between domestic and international for a period of time. But the fact it goes on quarter after quarter after quarter, no one can seem to give me an explanation. Every time I talk to an analyst, they point to that as one of the number one things that they find alarming about this entire business.
Okay, I don't know if you know the answer to this. I don't think they've talked about it. I know it's been brought up in the past, but on Sundays when I do Observer Live, I've got a TV up here and I've got a TV downstairs. And so I'm usually watching the pre-show on the network up here. And downstairs, Vinny is starting to watch the pay-per-view as I upload. So essentially what I'm saying is I have the network running in two places at the same time. Now, granted, they're both in the same house. It's just two different televisions. But I've never had a problem with that. Now, on Saturday, I had a buddy of mine, and he was not watching Fight Pass because he was letting one of his friends watch the show on his Fight Pass. And the way it works is UFC only allows one person to be watching at any given time on Fight Pass. So if you want to give your password to your buddy, well, if your buddy's watching the live event, you can't watch the live event, which, of course, encourages people to get their own subscription. Now, we had a lot of people in the early days saying, I got 10 buddies all watching the pay-per-view at the same time. This is WWE Network. I got 10 buddies using my password. We're all watching it at the same time. And I thought, why are they allowing 10 people, maybe an unlimited number, to share these passwords? Now, I know it may have been cut down a little bit of late, but have they talked about that? Is that something they've discussed, maybe only allowing one person to watch at any given time?
I do recall, not in this call, but in a quarter ago or maybe two quarters ago, that there was some discussion about concurrent streams. And I know at one of the meetings they basically said, if we see really rampant behavior, we'll kill it. But I think part for them is that they're really afraid, as long as they can keep showing that the numbers are growing, it's a forward progress, right? And what's scary to them is the idea that at some point here, they're going to run out of these whack-a-moles that they can roll out to try to make it sound good. And so I almost wonder if, you know, they're back-pocketing some of this stuff just to be able to say, we'll try to do that in a year's time or 2 years' time because they're so much more afraid. I mean, the fact that they claim 90% of the people are watching this service every single month boggles my mind because I know several people who at very best are tuning in, you know, once a month if you're lucky. And then they're claiming there's weekly engagement at that level. And it just shocks me. I cannot for the life of me make this all make sense at times. And why they're doing all this surveying and asking all this information and then they don't seem to be doing anything with it is also very vexing.
Any last questions, Mike?
I guess that's about it. I mean, as far as like merchandise sales and things like that out of WWE Shop Zone, maybe I'm noticing it more. I seem to get a lot more emails with a lot more push on, you know, having special days and theme days and things like that. Their general overall merchandise, where does that stand? I mean, I know per head when they go to buildings, it's really strong. But just overall, I mean, is there still that interest of kids and everything buying product?
Oh, we're going to have to answer that one after the break, everybody. So stand by. That'll be your last question, Mookie. Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Are you a business owner or an individual who owes the IRS? Then be prepared to write down an important phone number. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? Do you need to file back tax returns? Are you dealing with bank levies and wage garnishments? It's time to deal with your IRS problem today. Call Certified Tax Tax Representation now. Certified Tax Tax Representation, Inc. represents clients just like you in all 50 states. They will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client, and you can become a client
compliant immediately.
It's time for you to face your IRS problems. Think about how great you're going to feel when you're represented by a company who's an advocate for you, who knows the law, who also will contact the IRS the same day you become a client. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. Call now, 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064. Not all cases are typical, and some may not qualify. The consultation is free, and so is the call, so call right now. 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, before we go, Chris, Shop Zone, and then we'll get your plugs in.
Yeah, so the venue merchandise was up at about $5 million this quarter, and that's because they ran more events. They make about $10 a head at a live event these days, $10.50. And Shop Zone, they were saying, big increase in the number of online sales, almost a 50% rise. So I think that's really where the money is driven. But again, that was only a $6 million business this quarter compared to about $4.5 million a year ago. And so they're definitely selling more merchandise and they're doing more marketing and pushes for that, like the $10 sale they did a couple days ago, which was pretty good, except for the fact that they had some $7 items crossed out and marked up to $10, which made no sense. But hey, it's going to happen.
All right, very quickly, plugs.
My name's Chris Harrington. You can find me on Twitter at Mookie Ga. You can email me at chris.harrington@gmail.com, or you can find me at WrestleNomics.com and IndeedWrestling.com. And that's where I keep lots and lots of interesting wrestling statistical stuff, including all the analysis on WCW's pay contracts.
That's right. And there is some wacky stuff in there. Chris, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today. And, of course, we're going to wrap it up, everybody, but later on today, Wrestling Observer Radio, only for subscribers, myself and Dave Meltzer, are going to be interviewing Bob Backlund, who I have been told is going to do a great job. This is not going to be Raw from 1996 where Bob was on commentary ranting and raving like a madman. I think. I cannot confirm that, but that's my guess. He wrote an awesome book. If you have not checked it out, it's available on Amazon.com, Bob Backlund's brand new book. Pretty sure it's available on Kindle as well. Everybody that I've talked to has really enjoyed it. A very honest book. And if you want to know everything about that period of WWE, WWF, WWWF history, it's a book for you. And of course, we'll be back tomorrow, every day, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, replays, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. Thanks, Mike. Everybody at Byline, all the callers and listeners, we'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.